Your identity comes from two places. I thought about scripture, I thought about life. There are two places your identity comes from. Two places. Number one, it's your origin. Is what? Your origin. That's number one. Your origin. Number two, your purpose in life. Or your calling. Let me, you can use that expression. Which is shown by the kind of gifts that you have. Those are the two things, all right, that define your identity. Let me say it this way. Those are the two correct things that define a person's identity. I discovered any other one. Now, are you? You know what I call are you? Any other one is what? Fraud. A mistake. There are wrong sources of identity. I just feel like really talking about wrong sources of identity. We'll get back there again. Let me tell you one wrong source of identity. Very interesting. Titles. I mentioned it briefly last time. What did I say? Titles. That's one wrong source of identity. That's why people will pay money to get the title doctor, the honoris causa. Originally, those things were really meant to honor people. Now, people want to feel important. There was a time, I'm being careful as I say this. I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm saying this to instruct all of us. We in the body of Christ, we got carried away. And we began to learn the ways of the world to get our identity from titles. I don't mean this to be critical. I'm saying as a statement of fact. The title these days, bishop, is very common. I'm not saying being a bishop is wrong. Please get what I'm saying. All right? But the proliferation of it amongst Pentecostals especially is a feel-good phenomenon. I know some people won't like what I've said, but do you know it's a matter of truth? You know, when you're a pastor for a long time, you want promotion. You know, if you're a university lecturer, after a while, you should become a professor. You know, that kind of thing. If you work in the mainstream of the bank, you after a while, you'll be a manager and a general manager, you know, that kind of thing. And then maybe a managing director one day, an MD CEO, you know, that kind of thing. In ministry, ministry is a very funny thing. You know, there's no certificate to start, and there's no career progression. Except you go to some churches, you know, some churches have titles. Oh God, go to Celestial Church of Christ, you go see title. Mother in Israel, Most Holy Evangelist, Supreme Apostle. No, you see titles. You see titles. Now, in Christianity, Pentecostals got carried away. After a while, we began to find, you know, from pastor, you know, senior pastor, then you become a bishop, and then a few Pentecostals made it to Archbishop. All right? Very few, but we do make it to Archbishop. Now, those titles, like I said, I'm not fighting titles. Do you understand my point? But a lot of people now started running after titles so as to make themselves feel important. Therefore, I've seen these kind of things before. A young man, you call him bishop. Maybe he meets somebody like me. And they say, oh, please meet Pastor Banky or meet Dr. Banky or whatever. And he expects me to bow to him because his title is bishop. And I don't have the title bishop. I'm sorry, it is sad, but it happens. I've even heard of ministers encouraging, give titles. Men love titles. That's their problem. Jesus said, the rulers of the Gentiles, there are things that they love. So the fact that men love something doesn't mean you must oblige them. Titles. Everybody wants to put a title to his name. So Reverend, Doctor, Professor, you know, you put it. You know, if I know the way it is now. The one that amazed me is that deacon is now a title, you know. In secular world, your small church makes you a deacon. You go out there and announce it to everybody that I'm a deacon. I don't know why we bother, really. Let's balance some things. It's not necessary. You know what a deacon means? It means you are one of the administrators in the church. You are one of the church organizers. It's not a title to use in your office. Then you know, there's a sticker around town now on the car. Pastor. You've not seen it? You've not seen it? Just look around, you see it. Bold, pastor. If I say this, anyway, don't let me see that. That's not me to edify you. I'm just trying to get something. Let me not sit on things that don't really edify. All right? But that's what we do. Human beings, we look for identity from title. This is a problem. A lot of those titles, because it is conferred by man, all right, they are wrongly placed. Therefore, they lead people in wrong directions. People who don't have certain offices bear certain titles and try to behave like that. You know, I was listening to somebody quoting a book. I don't know the name of the author now, but let me tell you what he said. He said, we are not what we are because of what we do. Do you understand? We do what we do because of who we are. And in the doing of it, it is possible we are able to identify what we really are. That is, if you're trying to pastor a church, does not make you a pastor. There are pastors who are not pastoring. Let me say that very clearly to you. There are a lot of people who God called to be pastors and they are not pastoring. And in heaven, when God will ask Michael, who is pastoring there? Michael will say, that is Pastor Mike. Let's assume the guy on the earth is Mike. Where is he going? He's going to his office. He's the CEO of an engineering company. As far as God is concerned, this is a pastor, but it's not doing the job of a pastor. And then there are people that God say, who is that? He said, that's Engineer Mike. Where is he going? He's going to his office as a pastor of a church. Listen, this I'm telling you is very critical. My wife was telling me something yesterday, you know. She was reading this book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. And she's amazed that every preacher is not reading it. And if you're a preacher and you want to survive and make it and do the will of God, when I say make it, I mean make it into fulfilling the will of God for your life as a minister. Please, I want to recommend a number of books for you. Go and read them, all of them by Kenneth Hagin. Number one, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Number two, Following God's Plan for Your Life. Number three, He Gave Gifts Unto Men. Number four, Ministry Gifts. Read those books by Kenneth Hagin. It will save your life. When I say to save your life, I mean it literally. I mean it literally. I told you I traveled a few days ago. I went somewhere to preach. So I was talking to one of my brethren, one of my younger brethren. We're describing something led to it, all right? And I said, this man, he said he doesn't think this man was called to me. I questioned this man's call. No, he said that, this woman is the one that was really called. I said I knew. That the first day I heard her talk. Now, I am not Mr. Know-All, but please, I am instructing you today, so at least I should tell you the things I know, and I believe by the Holy Spirit. All right? Like Eli who looked at Job, he said, wait, listen, I'm not trying to flatter any man. I will draw my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Listen, look, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm not giving you names. But this was what happened to my heart that day. The moment I saw this woman talking on TV, I said, this woman is a minister. This woman is called to ministry. Look, listen, I can't remember what she said, but just hearing her talk and the story that went around her ministry, it's obvious she was called to ministry. I saw her husband once speak on television also. And without anybody being there, I said, this man is not called to ministry. I don't know who gave him this title. Why can't men learn from people like Joyce Meyer's husband? Most of us don't know what that man looks like. You don't know his name. 90% of those of you sitting down here who know Joyce Meyer don't know the name of her husband. But he's a force behind that ministry. He's like the chief administrator, but you don't know him. He does not preach. He's not a preacher. He doesn't try to be one. We are not competing. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Why can't we understand this thing? A few years after, I heard the man died. And I told myself, I think they should hold that woman responsible. And I said, no, don't hold her responsible. Hold him responsible. But now that he's dead, let God settle the matter. I said, the moment I saw it, look, listen, he said, Pastor Man, how did you know? Read those books I have read. What I say to one, I say to all. These things were recorded for our learning. I told you, God will not speak to you about things he has written in books that he has passed across your way. Hear it again. It's a warning. God will not speak to you about things that has been said in your presence and written in books that you can easily reach, which you have refused to read simply because of laziness and negligence. You go and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. The only time he will talk to you after and say, listen, go and read a book. You want to go into ministry, I'm warning you in the name of the Lord. Read those books I have told you. Add this one to it. God's Generals by Robert Sladen. It will help your life. I didn't write any of these books. I don't market them. I just don't want you to die anyhow. I know what I'm saying. Because unholy titles kill people. Hey. What I'm telling you is not a joke. These days that Pentecostals know how to promote people rapidly. A man told me once I should go to a particular church. He said, if not that kind of church, I'd go now. So all I need to do is give an offering of this my car. And just come to the pastor one day and say, the Lord spoke to me to give 300,000. I say, very soon they will promote me to a particular level. I'll be sitting in front. After a while, they give me a branch and then I begin to enjoy. These things sound like Harry Potter. No, really. It sounds like novel of a bad film. You understand my point? Of a bad dream. I've been present before. When a man walked up to the person I was standing with, a pastor, he said, I want to join this, your denomination. What do I need to do? Apparently, he was a minister from somewhere. He wants to move from where he used to be and come and join this particular church. And my friend, the pastor, said, well, you will join the church, you go through the foundational classes, you go through all the ministerial classes, and then you start working, join a department in the church, and as your gifts show, you will definitely move into the place of your gift. The man said, do I have to go through all of that? The guy said, there's no other way. He now asked a question. I'll tell you my response. He said, well, what if I paid money? I'm not telling you something that happened about 75 years ago because I wasn't born there. I'm not telling you about something I read in a book. I'm telling you something that happened in my presence less than 3 weeks ago. The man was standing in front of me. We were standing on this kind of elevated platform, me and the pastor I'm talking, telling you about, and the man walked up and was talking to that man. He said, can't I pay money and I don't have to go through all of this? And the man said, no, there is no other way. So he said, all right, we'll be seen. He shook his hand and he left. And I turned to him. I said, my guy, was that a joke? He said, Pastor Banky, I don't want to know. That is, it's not something to be discussed. That a man actually asked, what if I paid money? I call it the Jeroboam spirit. After God appointed Jeroboam king in Israel, Jeroboam began to appoint his own priests, and anybody who wanted to be priest and who paid the right amount of money, Jeroboam appointed you priest, because what that meant was that you were now entitled to the tithes and the offerings of the people. When they brought their goats to the temple, you took the first portion of it, and being a Jeroboamic priesthood, you could decide that that goat should not die. You will kill it personally unto the Lord later. Yes? If a man from the tribe of Judah, all right, from Naphtali, could be made priest, why can't he change the law? The law is already changed anyway. They were all supposed to be from the tribe of Levi. So if we went, broke the law to make them priests, why can't we also break the law to stop them from killing the goat? You can come and say, oh, the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. All the goats and the sheep brought for sacrifices, we shall make them a living sacrifice. Somebody say amen. I have a special anointing today to make this thing a living sacrifice. If the blood of this goat that will dry shortly can cleanse your sin, how much more the one that's circulating continually? And all the muguns there will be excited. They will wave their hands and go home. Say, that man shared revelation today. Oh. My goat right now is in his house. And the blood is flowing. Therefore, my sin is constantly being washed. The idiot will not know that if he had read the laws of Moses, he was supposed to kill that animal by himself. Why? Because the man went and collected a title that was not his own. He bought the priesthood. I mean, in one state nearby here, they had a commissioner of lands that was very, very notorious, all right, for being corrupt. Tell him to sign C of O. He would tell you it's 350,000 naira. When he said, oh, guy, it's not supposed to cost money. He said, do you know how much it cost me to get to this office as commissioner? tell people like that, except they repent, they will likewise perish. Believe me, the Lord is good. Sometimes I see something that people do. And I, do you know, but somebody told me that when they are ordaining deacon in some churches, they call family and friends. That there was a day, my friend was telling me, one church they go to, they went for their national conference. So they were supposed, the local pastors had appointed those who would be appointed deacons and elders. So they went to the headquarters, for set the Oga Kwata Kwata, the head, decided that for certain reasons he will exclude some people from being appointed, anointed, and consecrated as deacons and elders. So my friend was telling me that it was a serious matter. I said, what's the serious matter about it? They didn't consecrate you elder. Go home now. He said, go home. Do I know how much preparation they made? I said, preparation for what? That they invited family and friends. They go even print card. By national, you go see them. We congratulate our friend, Engineer Anjale Goku, who's been consecrated the kinese of, you know what I mean, of Enugu State in this particular congregation. And people go around with so rubbish titles and feeling very happy with themselves. I don't know why I started with wrong sources of identity. To deliver those who are listening to this, I told you my next book that's coming out is titled How to Work for God. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, read that book. So some of the things we do, you know that God is looking at you like, you did grace. You know what I'm saying? That. God is wondering, what's going on here? Gabriel, go on, say, yes, sir. What's wrong with that guy? He said, dear Lord, I think the guy don't bring any smoke. No, because you know, some of the things we do, you'll be amazed. People want to buy titles to make themselves feel important. One of the wrongest sources of identity is title. Originally, titles were created to describe what you do. Do you get my point? Therefore, if you hear the name doctor, you are supposed to see him if you are sick. Not to make the man feel important. If you hear a man is an engineer, he's supposed to tell you what kind of problems to take to him. Are you getting my point? People go to school, finish Bible school, and then collect the title, pastor. They don't teach anybody anything. They don't even know anything themselves. And he goes on. He feels very, very happy. Feels more important than those that should teach him certain things. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said those days. He said that they've given some young boys title bishop. That when they come to a meeting like this, they expect to be given the microphone to speak because of their title, instead of them sitting down to learn. That was why he described a title as an oversized cap that blinds a man and doesn't let him see properly. Even if I can't go into the real source of, what do you call it, identity today, all right? Let me please finish the wrong source of identity so that you can deliver yourself. The next wrong source of identity, because my time is rapidly going, is that one of identity by association. I discovered that to be another misleading source of identity. You get what I'm trying to explain? Let me give you an example. There are those who think they are going to heaven because of who their general overseer is. I'm talking to Christians that should sit down there. The senior pastor, the biggest head of their congregation. Some of this is I'm saying, you know, I told you that I don't even, right now, I think I should be rejected early so that those who really want to listen to me, they will know that they are listening to a man that has been rejected. So let me say all the things that will make people reject me. Blessed are you when you are ostracized. Praise God. All right? So, yes, really. Do you know there are people who... No, listen to this one I'm about to say. It will shock you. There were people who actually think they are blessed because of the man who preaches in their church. There are people who think they are blessed because they go to Winners. They are in Redeemed. They are in Us on the Rock. They go to Deeper Life. When you ask them, they say, what God told our papa is the most stupid thing that a Christian should say. I don't know whether you get the point.
Whether you go to Redeem Deeper Life, House on the Rock, Christ Embassy, if you obey the word of God, you get exactly the same blessing. Let me tell you again. Be an Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, whatever it is you like to be. Obedience to God's word is the only thing that guarantees you blessing. They can pour gallons of oil on your head. You can still die and go to hell. You know, the people make me, they make me laugh. Hey, look at them. That is, and yeah, God, thy God, you patient too. No, honestly, you know, these things, before I would have thought they were jokes. How do people get lied to? So there are people who sell themselves stickers. That this sticker has been specially blessed. You put it on your car, it will protect your car. If anybody told you that, and is lying to you. You can't call the God of any man and expect a blessing from God. It's not possible. You must call God the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. You call him because you're obeying his word. Not because you go to any church. People make me laugh. A friend of mine told me about a church, one big denomination in Nigeria, that he entered into as one of their pastors. He said, when you hear the kind of things they teach there, you'll be afraid because we have the same background. That they actually say, and if you are like that and somebody tells you this, get angry if you want. The truth is that they lied to you what I'm about to say. If they told you that this is a church that God told the founding father, Jesus Christ, to come back to meet on the earth, all of you are confused. A denomination. A denomination. Watch it. In the many years, every one of them will fizzle. Hey, look how people, they make me laugh. There are those who say this is the original church. They are those, these are the real Reformed Church. And Pentecostals come and join and say that God told our founding father that this is the church that Jesus Christ will come to meet on the earth. I say, and you believe that, you should have, if the man reported that to you, you should have known he started smoking before he began to preach to you. That is, he had Alzheimer's disease. When he was recounting what God told him, I'm not saying God did not talk to him, I'm just saying he has forgotten what he was told. Listen, because God spoke to you does not mean you will not forget. Go and read Kenneth Hagin. He will tell you that the Lord was speaking to him once in a vision and the demon began to disturb. And the Lord kept on talking as if there was no problem. And he couldn't hear what was being said. God don't say some people, they say they heard a call from God. He says it's a missed call. Call that, you know what I'm saying? That is a call just crossed by accident to their own. He said God called some people, he flashed other people. I hear those things. What amazes me is that people actually believe those things and they go around like the Jews. We have Abraham for our father. You know, that's what they were telling John. All this is your baptism. It's not going to get anybody anywhere. Why? Because we have Abraham for our father. Do you know there are people today, Christians, who still name the name of a man of God? As I told you, there are things you don't hear me say. You know, our father in the Lord, without him, God cannot do anything in our life. It's only as he's promoted that we will be promoted. It is only as he's increasing that we will be increasing. When I hear something like that, you'll be feeling sorry for people like that. You are mad. This man is a cover over our head. It's because of him God is protecting us. I know, Lucy, sometimes I want to get up, walk up and slap somebody. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! No. You know, those is when we're young as Christians. We laughed at Catholics for saying the Pope is infallible. Now, Pentecostals are worse. And, you know, I just go around. You know, oh, Father God, I thank you and I worship you because I thank God that it's not today as I learn the Bible. Nobody can bamboozle me. When the brother came to me, he said, he wants to learn, he wants to know how I get to understand. I said, look, wait, come. Is it me you're talking about? I said, please, let's not harass ourselves. Let's start from somewhere. I started studying the scriptures like my life depends on it 22 years ago. Most of the people, they are shouting, yeah, Papa said, the man said, and you look at him, the man got born again 15 years ago. I've been preaching for some of these who gave their lives to Christ. Because I don't bear title. Especially, I will not get the present. I'll be, I told you, look,
Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do you understand my point? Ought. One small boy can't give himself title and expect me to bow. Because of what? Listen, it is not because of pride, though. He said, Pastor Banky, are you sure? I will tell you. My wife will testify. There are times I hear people share the word of God. I go and literally bow. It's not because of your title. Who's the anointing? Let us feel it. The first day I went to my pastor's church in Lagos, that day, I wanted to faint. You know why? Because the weight of glory, it fell on my head, knocked me down to my seat. Recently, in our church here, a man came to preach. You know, before that, I was wondering, when people scream, why don't I scream? You know, I used to wonder. Somebody would say, do you know God is good? The sun is up today. I hear, hoo, hoo, hoo. And I say, the sun, you know, and, you know, really. Get my point. I'm not trying to be critical. Maybe I'm just a, you know what I mean? I'm too conservative, maybe. So, if you are that excited, may the Lord bless you, keep you, increase you, bless in all that you do. And may your shout rise up to him as a praise. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know how to pretend. You know that day, as soon as I finished saying that to myself in my soul, the man of God grabbed the microphone and began to preach. Next thing I heard myself shouting and screaming. Listen, I don't mean to brag. Just let some. Immediately I told my wife, do you have money in your bag? You know, somebody paid her money. Let me borrow $10,000 from it. Give it to him, put an envelope around and greeted the man. God bless you, sir. I went back to my seat. I said, no. I removed my wristwatch. God bless you, sir. To tell you how I bowed at his presence because of the amount of anointing the man was oozing. That was less than 6 weeks ago. You can carry any title you like. It won't shake me. Wear any cap. I've seen confused Pentecostal with robes. This is the most reverend bishop. You go, y'all look the boy. You will look at the boy. And you will feel sorry for him. That may God have mercy on this one. Forgive him his sins. Teach him the truth. May he come to know Christ Jesus and know his right place in life. A place of shutting up and learning. And may we gather around him. It's our Father. Without him, we can do nothing. Let me warn those of you who you give that kind of glory to. Human beings are wicked. They will send you, the preacher, to hell. They will help you pump yourself full of pride. You yourself, before you know what's happening, you start feeling important. Once you start believing it, you're dead. You hear what I said? Once you start believing those things, you're a dead man. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it one more time. If you're a preacher, and next, without you, we can do nothing. It is only you that God speaks through these days. You know, you are our own Pentecostal Muhammad. There is nothing else. If there's no other prophet, you are the final prophet. Once you are not the first, though. Go and read the story. John Alexander Dowie, that was what they told him. William Marion Braham, that was what they told those men. Those were the very things that killed the people. Don't think it's today. Jesus came to, the man came to make Jesus king. You know what he did? He ran away. He said, I know you people. Now who you now go kill, now they find, is who you will murder. Pump him up so high. You are our king. Without you, we won't go to the left or go to the right. Speak the word. You are our Father in the Lord. The cover over our head. The day you hear me call a man cover over my head, I'm backsliding. No man can cover my head, this head. Nobody. No man. Only Christ Jesus. And I warned you before, I am not the cover over your head. I'm your teacher. Amen. Let me tell you this. I'm looking forward to one day when 1, 2, 3 of the young men who I remember maybe 15, 20 years ago, I used to come to Kingdom Word and I used to teach. Now his program comes up 1 hour before mine on TV. And even me, I rush to settle down and hear something. Because let me tell you, if you are a university graduate, a master's holder maybe in physics, engineer or something like that, you're probably better than your physics teacher in secondary school. Do you know that? You can teach a man. Is it because this anointing of God, you didn't work for it. It's an endowment. God can pick one of the people you taught and bless him with greater insight than you had. There's no big deal about that.
There are books in the Bible I hardly quote. There are depths of revelation therein, which God has said, Banky, you teach up to a particular level. I'll raise one of the people that you taught. They will go to that angle and decode revelations, and this whole earth will shake. You can't shake it alone. Please don't cover their head. You won't let them manifest. Because if any man is a cover over your head, you can never rise above him. And concerning John the Baptist, was said, they said, the one who you baptized is gathering more disciples than you. He said, did I not tell you that there's one coming after me, mightier than I? You've not heard that one before? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. He said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Please, I hope you are getting my point. There is nobody, you are a big preacher today. You are raising men who will be bigger than you. I hope you know that. You're not the biggest preacher that ever existed. There are times I look at some of my teachers of those days in the world now, and I have cause to disagree with some things that they said. And I'm not angry with them. I still buy their materials. But I tell myself, Banky, if you know where they began from, you know the depth of revelation they brought to this earth, you have not come near it, considering where they began from. It's just that you started from where they ended. Are you getting my point? A man was asking me therefore yesterday. He said, sir, is it true? You said you've read every Kenneth Hagin book. I said, yes, except his faith devotional series, all those daily devotionals. He said, those are the only books I've not read. Every single book by Kenneth Hagin, this guy has read. And I don't mean once. His books are there. I read, I believe, in visions years ago. Then a few years ago, I went to buy my copy. And since then, I can't count the number of days I have read those books. Visions that God gave me, maybe over 25, 30-year period. I read it in 5 hours. Are you getting my point? Took him 25 years to get some visions. I get the whole thing in 5 hours. Do you think I should end where he ended? No, I should begin where he ended. Revelation that he taught in 1987 is what was condensed into the book Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Before I began in ministry, I had read it. He spent the first 12 years of his ministerial life pastoring, and God said to him, now you are about to enter into the first phase. No, he said, God, on the day you resigned the last church you pastored, you went into the first phase of your ministry. I read that before I began ministry. So I was careful not to just be wasting time anyhow. A failure if you don't raise men who become greater than you were. Are you getting my point? Because you are not God. As a church, we are increasing every day. The church that I will leave behind should increase beyond the level that I got to and my own contemporaries. I dividend all of this and explain something. People go around taking identity from associations. It's not godly. I'm not saying don't have associations. I'm not saying don't have friends. I belong to associations. Are you getting my point? You can look at them and describe the kind of person that I might be. But believe me, my identity doesn't come from there. I am there because I have the right identity. Are you getting my point? I didn't go there to go and look for an identity. But because I have a particular kind of identity, I joined with men of like passion. I hope you are getting my point. I hope you are getting my point. Please listen to me, people. You cannot get identity from material possessions. Oh, that's the third one. But I don't have time to go into it. My time is really gone. That's the third wrong place people get. All right, I mentioned a bit about it before. All right? I mentioned about titles, associations. The last one of them, stupid way people get identity is what? Material possessions. I mentioned something about it briefly earlier. So I think I can leave that one. It's a very wrong place to pick identity from. Your identity is the kind of car you drive. It's very common in this part of the country. It's very, very terrible here. You know that. Very terrible. That's why small, small boys steal. And that's why I noticed a lot of the people don't have respect for big cars anyway. They know that tomorrow when they finish stealing also, they will buy their own. And you people will become equals. People respect you because you seem to have money. You are driving a big car. So young men want to, they want to quickly, show that they are rich. So the man, one day two men were in my office. Then I was heading a particular committee in my university. Two senior people in Ajo, they came for me to settle quarrel between them. Then I told this man to release this particular materials to me, and he did not release it. And I said, well, okay, why didn't you release to him now? I told him to bring this and bring that and bring that. He said, why are you talking to me like that? Is your car bigger than my car? Do you have more children than I have? After I asked about three things, I felt like, okay, wait. The man is trying to do his job here. It has nothing to do with the number of children that you have and the kind of car that you drive. I was disappointed that the man is age. He felt that the only reason you can talk to me is if I have four children and you have 16. Yes, you should talk. If I drive a Volkswagen Jetta and you drive a Lamborghini Countach, you should talk. No. For believers, that's wrong. Let me summarize with one scripture. It says, a man's identity does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You know that scripture? Please, my time is gone for today. I hope you've learned something. I shouldn't end without just saying this thing. Your identity is to be drawn from your origin. There are two ways you draw identity from origin. There's a natural way. He that is born of flesh is flesh. Who's your father? Which school did you go to? What degrees do you have? But there's a spiritual way. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. We read that scripture. I didn't get there. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Let me summarize with one word. It is what you are in Christ that determines your identity. That is what resounds into the realm of the spirit. The number of cars you have will not deliver you in the time of death. But your faith in Christ Jesus will speak to the devil that he has been overcome. I'll develop that one next time. I'm sorry I couldn't get there today, but our time is really gone. But let's begin to just give the Lord thanks. Let's just pray and give God thanks. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Because our identity is in Christ and in Christ alone. Our identity is in Christ and in Christ alone.